I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. I'm at Hastings Park, the P&E grounds for the FIFA Fan Festival Vancouver, the FIFA World Cup 26, and all its controversy is now on. Welcome to edition number 452 of the Breaker.News podcast. This week, I visit one of the neighbors of the FIFA World Cup in Vancouver, former province newspaper reporter Keith Morgan, who gave me a bit of a tour of his neighborhood.
The next station is Main Street Science World.
So I'm with Keith Morgan, former Vancouver Province reporter, here in Vancouver on the east side of False Creek, where Keith lives with a bird's eye view of the FIFA World Cup 26 scenario here in Vancouver. Over his shoulder, you can see BC Place Stadium.
Well, for one, I will enjoy the games, but I'm not so sure it's going to be much fun here with all of the traffic and the chaos, which I think is inevitable, you know, trying to shove thousands and thousands of fans from the SkyTrain station just around the corner here at SkyTrain in one direction. So it's going to be a tough job. I think all of us want it to succeed in terms of an event. You don't get any bigger soccer fan than me, but I'm just very concerned that the accountability is not really there, and we're having a lot of things shoved at us, over-the-top reactions. Security seems just so far over the top to me. You know, I've been to World Cup and never seen this kind of security in the past.
Yeah, you are feeling the effects right in your own neighborhood about your mobility, where you can walk, where you can drive.
Yes, the ferries on down to the market, you know, Granville Island Market, are going to be running. There's going to be nothing else in this protected area, which is east of the Cambie Bridge. There are going to, on match day, the restrictions are going to be pretty intense. We as people who live on this block of Quebec Street, we have passes to be able to drive, but we can all cars in both directions are going to be on just one side of the road and pedestrians on the other. And we can basically only get to our buildings, and that's it. So, you know, it's the height of summer, and many of us have visitors in the summer. And now we've been allowed to have more than one pass. So that will be helpful in that way. But really, who wants to drive on match days around here? It's going to be pretty chaotic.
Yeah, one of the selling points of Vancouver versus other host cities is that the stadium is right in the middle of downtown. That provides some benefits, but it also provides some challenges.
Yes, it does. I mean, we can guess in terms of the anxiety that the FIFA security people have about the potential for drones. Well, of course, they're banned now. We can see that. And, you know, you've never had a place where they're staging games where people have openings like this, where, you know, you're looking on the actual site. You're a very short distance away from the venue. So that does pose challenges. I mean, I get that. I don't think there's another city venue in this World Cup that's anything like the Vancouver situation in terms of proximity of residences to the stadiums. None at all. I found it interesting that, was it this past weekend, the Vancouver area was voted the finest venue for visitors. Well, it might be in terms of, we've got it all here, you know, geographically, and things we might appreciate, but it can be a nightmare, I do admit, for security.
Yeah, you do have transit every few minutes, as people can hear and see.
Yeah, you can already see event parking signs are popping up all over the place. I was just in Costco this morning, and it says event parking during the, you know, it will be open, you know, $40. You know, you have to buy rather a lot to make that $40 pay for itself, even in Costco, if I can freely advertise that for a moment. But yeah, it's going to be, I mean, there are going to be lots of benefits, but I think there's been a lot of disappointment in the people in the hospitality business that I've spoken to, who have just seen rooms cancelled, not just by the FIFA allocation that was closed, was shut off fairly early, but just a lot of cancellations. I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day who said, has anybody asked the cost of all of the conventions that we've lost this summer? Because they're not coming. That's a huge multi-million dollar business. It's gone. You know, so it means that the accountability on the cash side is a little bit suspect. I'm glad we have the World Cup in some ways, but as you know, the old journalist in me that used to chase what was going on the financial side of this, I think we've been sold a bill of goods in so much of this.
Have you been fortunate enough to get your hands on tickets for a reasonable price, or do you know any of your neighbors or friends that have?
No, I have the best seat in the house. It's called a 60 plus inch TV, an endless supply of wine and nibbles, and in fact I will be hosting a number of viewing events at no charge, as long as they can walk here or get the SkyTrain. So that'll be fun. I'll enjoy that. And thank you, Vancouver and the rest of the province, for paying for this.
I guess while we're here, I wonder if you can give us a bit of a tour of the neighborhood from up high here. Thing over there that has been transformed in recent weeks is Science World. It's now Adidas Trionda Ball.
They've done a good job there, no question about it. There's a soccer and technology exhibition on there, which I will go and see. I've heard good reports about that. I think it's a great idea. This is where it's going to happen. I mean, there are concerns over here. If you look over here at the park, there are concerns about, during the summer when the sun comes out, we have protests over here of a particular interest. You can probably gather what. And they're out there and they have, audio and tents. So no kids go over there. They don't go. So I'm thinking, I wonder what's going to happen during the World Cup. Are they going to see that as an opportunity to promote their cause? It's not a traditional kind of protest site, but they may just make it that. So I'll be interested to hear what plans there are to, discourage that. One of the other concerns is that, we have this big thing in this area about being able to pitch a tent overnight as long as you clear it the next day. Well, is this going to become a campsite? I don't really think I can't imagine anybody that's bought tickets is going to choose that option. But will it become an excuse to do so? That's always a concern. So all of the you mentioned earlier, we talked earlier about the fact that Chinatown Stadium Station is going to be closed on match days. So basically everything is funneling through this road in front of me. And the local traffic is going to be restricted to this lane here, the eastern lane, and the west lane will be purely pedestrians. Seawall will be open there. I mean, if I'm going to go to the stadium, that would be my choice of route. But they want people to go this way, all the way down to Carroll. And as you can see by Rogers Arena there, that's where you'll check your ticket. You'll have to line up there, and then you'll disperse to the various parts of the stadium. One of the other things that, we talked about security, and you've heard me say a number of times now about the kind of overkill over there. That's the hospitality area over there where the tents are. And there's a 12-foot fence there. I don't think anybody could scale that. But in the last few weeks, since it's been up, while it was on construction too, the security guards there all the time guarding this damn fence, if I can use that language. And then I find out that we've got one there on Saturday, and there's a second fence just outside it. I mean, really? some of those things drive you a little bit crazy. Doesn't make me feel any more secure, having them there. Yes, security's done. I wish I had some money in a security company, because boy, have they got a lot of business. I understand, as of last week, the ferries will be in operation, but as of last week, and this has changed a few times, They will not be able to dock at the Plaza of Nations dock there. Basically, if you take that choice from anywhere, you know, west of the Canby Bridge, you have to get off here at the Olympic Village and walk this way. You know, we lost the big Dragon Boat event this year because of World Cup. No, can't be in there. But anyway, so yes, I'm a big plus on the actual events, the game, and will enjoy it very much. But look at everything else with a bit of a cynical eye, you might say.
Now, you have been to the World Cup before. You're from England. You went to 1966.
Yeah.
One of the greatest World Cups because, well, England won it at home. Well,
yes, we could mention that. Yes. I went to Goodison Park, which is the former home of Everton in Liverpool, and watched Brazil play Hungary. And I think my father took me to that. I think he paid up to about 12 shillings for our standing part, you know, which I can't even think what that is in dollars today, but not very much money. And of course, it has gone up. I was listening to a podcast this morning, and they're from out of the UK, and they were just complaining about this surge pricing, which is, I think, has become the curse of the entertainment industry. You know, I was in the rock music business before I got into journalism, and the price of a ticket was the price of the ticket. Now it seems to be geared by demand. Well, guess what? When the Rolling Stones or something like that plays here, the demand is really big when it opens. So I often wonder, well, does anybody get the price on the ticket? And so the same has happened in the World Cup here. I listened to an interview with the big boss of FIFA, and he was saying, oh, well, that's the way things are done in North America. And I thought, okay. So they were certainly keen to take maximum advantage, because of course, when there are resales, they also get a cut of it, because it's done through official resale agents. I think most people know that New York State and New Jersey has that whole matter under investigation in terms of the reuse of tickets, resale of tickets. That's going to be interesting. And then you also have heard about the price of the train out of New York to their stadium in New Jersey. Was it started out at something like $100 or something? I think they've reduced it now. But, you know, for a fare that's normally about 20 or 10 or something like that. Our SkyTrain's staying at the correct price, I understand. So I guess that's a good benefit.
Now, there was the plebiscite for the 2010 Winter Olympics back in 2003. City of Vancouver voters, not the ones in West Vancouver or Richmond or Whistler, but just City of Vancouver, they did get their say at the ballot box before the bid went forward. The bid eventually won. That didn't happen this time.
No. City politics in Vancouver, I think, has been, interesting to watch in the last 10 to 15 years. We've seen a lot of changes. We've seen different swings in the governments as to what they really value and how they want to conduct themselves. And I think a lot of taxpayers who are paying attention. We've seen some deterioration in basics that we would expect as taxpayers. I'm not seeing any improvements in that. Of course, we're into an election year. And so we've got these pledges about, you know, keeping the price, keeping the rates down. But I don't know. Time will tell. November will be interesting, won't it, after the World Cup is finished.
Do you think it was wise, despite all these social problems that we see throughout Vancouver, the fentanyl epidemic, the crime, the need for more social spending, also the problems with lack of doctors and nurses, some of the hospital emergency rooms in the suburbs, eastern suburbs especially, may not be open every single day of the World Cup.
No, and I think, you know, one of the things that has started to creep into some of the media coverage outside of here, away from here, is, you know, the sights of bodies on streets, fentanyl folks who have passed out or, goodness knows, fit worse. That's going to be a lasting memory for people that see that, and because, as you know, that's very close to here where most of that happens. That's not great from a tourism point of view either, of course. I am somewhat skeptical on the tourism value. I think if we'd had key European, South American teams in here, that's different. They bring with them tens of thousands of supporters. They, especially Europeans, you know, there's a potential for expanding tourism, just as Expo did. And with the teams that are playing here, no disrespect to them, they're here, but they're not very attractive games to watch. You know, they're just not. And when I look at actually who's here, I don't see them as being travelers where, you know, they're going to go back and say, oh, we've got to go on a vacation to Vancouver. I just don't see it. I suppose the best hope might be Belgium. They're here for a game. But I think our best strength will be television coverage in terms of how the games are covered here overseas, you know, as to whether overseas programmers do some local shoots of, you know, what it's like in Vancouver, which they probably will. There's a value there, certainly, but it's not the teams that are actually playing here.
Yeah, the 48 nation format, FIFA, part of its thinking was that they could open it up and make it a little bit easier for China and India to qualify, massive TV markets, yeah. And that didn't happen, and they actually went back to China and India with cap in hand and made very small deals at the last minute just to get on TV in those countries. As much as this is the world game, there are some of the world's biggest countries with the world's biggest populations that aren't in this, and because of the expansion to 48 nations, it has diluted this somewhat.
Yes, and you know, the other thing, a discouraging factor, is that we all know what's going on down in the US. There was a story just a few days ago, I read in the Times of London, where a bunch of unrelated Scottish fans who had bought their tickets, their air flights, and their hotel rooms, and they were refused entry to the US. There's a kind of a visa, isn't there, they apply for, refused. Well, we do know that they're now able to check everybody's social media down south, and in fact demand to see that, or be able to see that, when you apply for a visa. And so one suspects that they found something on the Scots fans that they didn't like, and they've been refused. How many more times has that happened? There's fear in the US about the ice being around the stadiums. You know, so, you know, that's a problem. Now we find that Iran has to be based in, the Iranian team has to be based in Mexico, because the U.S. doesn't want them there in the U.S. overnight, but they can come and play their games in the U.S. It's just not good. And that's very discouraging. So that's all playing out big in Europe. I mean, it's getting a lot of exposure on television, in the newspapers. Because as you know, especially the British tabloids, they'll go after anything. And you can bet your sweet life that as it progresses in the next week or so, it's going to be, how can we say, interesting to see what they report on.
Yeah, the highest levels, the leaders of the three countries that are hosting this are not in the best terms. So it's up to all the people under them, the military, the bureaucrats, public health, all the other mechanisms of government, of these three governments, to work together at this time while there are wars on in other sides of the planet, which increases the risks. This is going to be a World Cup like no other. No matter what happens in the pitch, it may not be able to be enough to distract what goes on outside the stadiums.
Agreed. And, you know, the media will do its job, we hope. I'm sure they will. And we had that some recent incidents, didn't we? I mean, you went big on the water. It was this ridiculous situation. I don't know if you've had a empty plastic bomb thrown at your head, but I think I have, and it doesn't hurt. Now I'm being silly there, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, just so petty, and you have to wonder whether there's a commercial side to that. Oh, we sell water in the, Coke's our sponsor, they have a brand of water. Oh, let's sell more of that. you know, well, of course, they've been forced to go back on that one. But, you know, and I see some pretty trivial things around here with at least, I know of at least one charity that wasn't able to raffle off some tickets that they actually bought. You know, as somebody in journalism, seemed to me that was really good because FIFA was getting free publicity because they were selling something to events that they are running. But no, they came down hard on them, you can't do that. And they got a court order against it. I mean, come on, really? Really? And we know of the struggles with stores and commercial around the area. That's, you know, worried about it. And I think there were some attempts originally to close them down while match days were on, etc. So, I mean, that leaves a sour taste in locals' mouths.
FIFA World Cup 26, as it pertains to Vancouver, which hosts the first of seven matches on June 13th, right over there. The bill for taxpayers, around $724 million, they say, so far. But as we know, with the World Cup, it only goes up. So thanks again, Keith.
You're welcome.
That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 14th, 2026. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. As usual, send an email to bob@thebreaker.news with your news tips, with your comments. Look for me on social media, The Breaker News on Twitter, also known as X. Also look on YouTube. And you can subscribe to the newsletter, get updates to your inbox. Go to bobmackin.substack.com. Become a member and get early access to podcasts. Support local journalism here in Vancouver. Thanks again for joining me, and until next week.